What are the defining discoveries, inventions that truly made mankind leap? Made mankind leap forward. You know, there are some discoveries and inventions that just rocketed us to a new place. Maybe we're even single-handedly responsible for where we've ended up, right? And for the most part, you have to be very happy with where we've ended up. If you listen to a lot of the naysayers and a lot of the people who like to tell you that your society is mean and nasty and it was built on a structure that is patriarchal and racist and that whole thing, well, you may not think that much of what we've done or how far we've come or what we've accomplished, but the truth of the matter is we've reached an amazing point, right? And there are a few things that got us here, and I'm talking way base things. I'll give you an example of one such discovery, right? Fire. Fire changed everything. Truly, it changed everything. Some people even believe that our ability to cook food made it less of a task on our bodies to digest food, right? In turn, it took less energy to digest food, which then allowed our brains to grow. Because we could, rather than putting all those calories into digestion like a cow, you know, who has multiple stomachs to deal with all the grass and the whatever, the cud, we were able all of a sudden to cook foods and make them soft and make them easier to chew and easier to digest. So now all these extra calories, rather than going to our stomach to handle all the food digestion, a lot of people believe that it went to the brain. And the brain was able to grow and it was able to demand more calories, right? You understand how that could happen, right? If your brain can only demand so many calories from the body, you have to eat or else the brain dies. So the brain's not going to say, give me everything, and then you die because you don't have enough calories to chew and digest your food. But once we were able to cook food with fire, we were able to denature food, we were able to make it softer, we make it easier to digest, easier to chew, well, all of a sudden, the brain could grow. And a lot of people believe that's how it all went down, thanks to fire, right? Not to mention the fact that the Ice Age came, fire was something we used to keep ourselves warm. If you look out even further, you could say that fire obviously is the incremental piece in our relationship with metal, and the human relationship with metal changed everything entirely, right? The human relationship with metal changed everything entirely. That's about as simple as it gets. So fire is an example, right? Fire is an example of one of those things that, one of those discoveries that changed everything, right? And at some point we discovered this idea that there was a God. And I don't want to talk about the discovery of God or some gods as something that propelled humanity, even though most likely, even though if you're a... This is one of those weird things. This is one of those weird things that you have to think about, particularly on a day like this when you're devoting days to a God. You have to understand that there was a time when people worshipped multiple gods. People worshipped a house full of gods that did different things. And those, the process in the worshipping, the battles that were fought over those gods and that type of thing, the stories that were based on some of those gods, they have direct correlations to Jesus and the story of Jesus. I mean, it is what it is. Maybe it's coincidence, maybe not. But you have to at least be honest with yourself, right, about some of the fundamental myths of ancient civilization, some of the fundamental religious beliefs and their connection to Jesus and God. And that's just, it's irrefutable stuff. You know what I mean? It's not something you could say, well, if they were worshiping the wrong God. And I mean, maybe, I don't know. Most likely, or who knows, the timeline of the Bible could be deeply flawed also. There's a lot of questions. But like fire, there's no denying that something happened some 2,000 years ago. Now, people will always get on you and tell you, you don't know when Jesus was born. He wasn't really born on Christmas and all that stuff. And they'll give you a million reasons why not to. Because that's what most people do, right? They're looking for a reason not to, not for a reason to. So you'll get all that garbage. And that's fine, whatever. Whatever it is what it is. But I can tell you this much. Something happened 2,000 years ago with a guy named Jesus. Wherever you fall on the spectrum, whether you believe he walked on water, whether you believe he turned wine to water, water to wine, rather, even if you're the most cynical person of all time and maybe you think that Jesus was just an ordinary man or magician or something like that, even if that were the case, Christianity and what emerged after Jesus Christ propelled humanity in a way that is irrefutable, undeniable, and I don't know of another force that could have done what Christianity did in this world. Period. I don't know of another force that I can think of that could have taken us from, you know, scabbard-wielding animals, basically, to what we are today. We hear the liberals all the time talk about acceptance, acceptance, acceptance. You have to understand that Christianity was the first idea of acceptance that there was. Who was practicing acceptance? Who was practicing turn the other cheek before Christians? Did that exist? Do you think that was something that would have just happened on its own? We would have just, rather than slaughtering whole villages, we would have just become, we've just accepted people for who they were? Do you think the Romans were pretty accepting people? Yeah. Listen, these things are real. When you look at Christianity, when you look at Christmas time, a time to celebrate Christ, a mass for Christ, you can say whatever you want about it. Because it's the beautiful United States of America and you've been given your First Amendment rights. So yes, you could say whatever you want about it. But it was a bunch of Christian men that gave you that right. Don't forget about that. And while we have the shadow of slavery that is going to ever loom on the nation, no one will let it die. For some reason, there's more of an excuse to let the scourge of racism live on than there is to let it die and burn off and to move forward. And I don't say that to be cynical or nasty or anything like that. I don't know what else we could do. What else can you do? What can you do? The whole of the nation has been manipulated and changed and modified to deal with the fact that people some, 200 almost years ago had slaves. Horrible. Don't get me wrong. Deplorable. The very worst of the worst situation is to keep a man and woman in bondage. Nothing worse. But I don't know what to do about it. I don't know if you know what to do about it. And that's the issue, right? I don't want to go off on a tangent, right? I don't want to talk about slavery on a show about Christmas and Christianity, but I want you to understand that we found our way out of it. And it was not by accident. Right? The Civil War wasn't fought by atheists. It's said that the one thing that the South and the North did have in common was the fact that they fought under different factions, but they loved the same God. Period. We've arrived at a place in human history today that is unbelievable. And it's not, the world is, there's 2 billion Christians on the planet. And whoever's taking those numbers has never asked me. Whoever is taking those figures has never asked me. They never come up to me, are you a Christian? I've never answered that poll, so how many are there? We're living through a time that is to be owed to Jesus Christ in many ways. And I know that sounds weird coming from me. It sounds super religious, right? We have to owe our success to Jesus Christ. What? But when you really sit down and think about it, who else? Who else? Who else? Beyonce? Who else do you owe what the Western world is? Now, the Western world is under attack. The Western world is taking a beating. because it's old news. Christianity is old news to many people. They're looking for better answers, right? They're looking for something without, I don't know what they're looking for, to be honest with you. To me, when I look at the people who are really trying to destroy the West, they're really trying to destroy this beautiful situation that we've created here, I just see people who can't compete, and they're looking for another answer. That's what it looks like to me. It looks like a bunch of people who can't compete, and they're looking for an easier answer. How can I win without working? How can I win without striving? How can I win without fighting? Try braving the rain. That's what it takes. Try lifting a stone. Try extending a hand, as Maynard James Keenan puts it. Listen, Christianity has propelled us in the way that fire has propelled us, in a way that, like, probably the printing press has propelled us, right? It's one of the most fundamental, and this, I mean, whatever. You can say what you want about Islam. You can say what you want about Hinduism. You could say what you want about any other religion. I'm sorry. It just so happens that this one is laced into the greatest nation on the planet. Not by accident. It's not an accident. I know there's a lot of great Muslim people out there. There's a billion of those people out there. They can't all be bad. But would we, I mean, one of the questions I ask myself, would we be the same United States of America if the founding fathers were five Arabs who, off of their extensive, and I do mean extensive, off of their extensive wealth made through the African slave trade during the early, what, 1400s, 1500s, 1600s, whatever it is, off of those extensive profits, if they decided to come over here and start a nation, would it look the way ours looks? Would we have guns? Would we have freedom of speech? Would we have checks and balances in our government? I don't know. Of course, you don't know the answer. It's a hypothetical, but just ask yourself the question. Where would we be? America's a decidedly Christian nation. A lot of people like to call that a bad thing. You look at Muslim nations of today, and it's kind of scary to see the Muslim-dominated nations of today. Anybody should be able to be okay with that statement. It shouldn't. It's not a racist statement. It's an objective statement. Look, it's 2018. The women in Saudi Arabia just got car keys. Just got car keys. So here I am. I'm here to tell you that Christianity and Jesus Christ are to be owed for what you have today, whether you believe it or not. I want you to understand that point. That's a point that you have to understand. Now, for my devoutly Christian listeners, whatever. You guys got it. You guys understand it. You're there. This is really not for you. This is for people who, even if you're an atheist, even if you're a Satanist, even if you're a Muslim, even whatever you are, we can't deny what Jesus Christ has done. You think that Christmas is a predominantly Christian holiday, which it is, but it's not totally. You think that it's totally a holiday for Christians? No, it's the Western world's holiday. It's the beauty of the West. Don't you understand that? It's the magnificence and the triumph of the West. It's the triumph of good over evil. It's the triumph of truth and courage. It's the triumph of understanding that beneath the veneer that we're all monsters. Beneath the veneer, we err on the side of evil. That's what we are at the base, man. At the base, we are that. We err on the side of the easy, the simple, the cheap. You look at the senators, and you get a really good idea of what we are at our base. And a lot of religions and a lot of good practices focus on how to get you away from that base instinct and make yourself a better person, but it's undoubtedly a part of Christianity. And it's under fire. I don't care what you say. Because the West is under fire. So is it a coincidence that Christianity is under fire and the West is under fire? Or is it the fact that Christianity and the West and all the beauty of it are inextricably tied, right? You're very, your very ability to get up on Twitter and renounce Jesus Christ, renounce Christianity, renounce God, renounce Christmas, renounce America, renounce Donald Trump, and whatever else you want to renounce, it's a product of Jesus Christ. I mean, you just follow the line, right? You follow the line, and you see how he arrived here. I mean, every single thing that you read about the early settlement of this nation, everything you read about the discoveries of the incredible discoveries of the Europeans, no matter what you say about anything, about equality or this quality, that quality, quality in general, listen, the early Europeans discovered the entire world, and they did it with God in mind. They did it in honor of God. These are just what it is. There's no getting around it. It's not as much about Christmas lights and gift wrap as you think. But there are forces, man, closing in on this thing because they want to pick it apart. They want to pull it apart like a turkey, a well-cooked Christmas turkey. They want to pull it apart, and they want to say that Christianity in the West and Christmas and there are all these different things, and we could attack them all on different fronts, and we can weaken them. But you're weakening the whole structure, the whole thing, because it all comes down to an individual's rights. It all comes down to truth. It all comes down to the courage to stand up for those truths and those rights. And it all comes down, and this is the most important part of Christianity to me this day and age, it all comes down to understanding that you're a demon. I mean, you're a monster. You're capable of the worst evil there is. You, me, everyone. And that the whole battle is, let's fight that every day, and let's do the opposite. Let's do the opposite of what our base says. And I bring you a story. December 14, 2018, newly elected Muslim congresswoman called out for mocking VP Mike Pence's Christian faith. And you can't sit here and tell me that that doesn't affect you some kind of way, and it should affect you some kind of a way, whether you're a Christian or not. Representative-elect Ilhan Omar, Democrat in Minnesota. We all know what's going on in Minnesota. It is one of two Muslim women elected to Congress in November, right? So here we go. We have an opportunity to see the best of the best, right? The best of the best here that the Muslim world has to offer is they're going to represent the people of this nation. And she wasted no time using her platform as an elected official to mock Vice President Mike Pence's Christian faith and Jesus. This is from Business and Politics. BizPackReview.com. Taking to Twitter, Omar shared a photo of Pence sitting in the Oval Office this week while President Trump met with Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. The image captured Vice President with his eyes closed, mid-blink, and Omar added the caption, "Jesus take the wheel, hashtag border wall." Right here she is, Jesus take the wheel, hashtag border wall. She's got the head covering on in the whole nine yards. Fittingly, the second Muslim woman elected to office. Right, so the first one elected to office, Jesus take the wheel, hashtag border wall, with a picture of the vice president mocking him. The second Muslim woman elected to office, Representative Rashida Tlaib in Michigan. She liked Omar's tweet mocking Jesus and Pence's strong faith. Now, what do I have to tell you? What do I have to tell you about it? Should we get hysterical about something like this? Yes. Because the truth of the matter is there needs to be a respect for Christianity in this world, period. Because it's like I told you, it's one of the massive forces that propelled humanity, and I say humanity. Why? You're going to tell me that America is not one of the most massive influences on the freedoms and the progress of the entire world, of humanity in general, not even just humanity, but of the quality of life on the planet Earth. And you can sit here and cry about the fact that we're losing species after species on this planet because of pollution and this thing and that thing. I mean, what do you want me to say? Planets lose species of life all... It happens. Are humans responsible for it? Probably some of it, yeah. I'm sure some of it. But that's a whole different discussion. And it's a discussion that warrants a very big question, which is, what team are we on? One thing's for sure, there's not another species on the planet that can help save animals except human beings. I don't care how many bears you get together in a lab, they'll never figure out how to save the fish. They don't care. So let's be real careful. Let's be real careful, and let's just give Christianity its due. Let's stop fighting Merry Christmas. Let's stop getting upset over the fact that a majority Christian nation likes to talk about Merry Christmas and the birth of Jesus Christ. When really, it should be a conversation the whole world has, and it probably should be a holiday that the whole world celebrates, despite the fact of their religion. It's kind of what I'm getting at. Whether you believe Jesus was God's son, whether you believe Jesus was a prophet, whether you believe Jesus didn't exist or existed or whatever, you have to realize that something happened 2,000 years ago that changed the face of the planet, that launched the world into incredible progress, that changed the mindset of human beings who were basically animals with swords, that created the base for America, that in all the inventions that came out of Europe in that time that led up to, you know, the 14, 1500s, where America was settled. What do you think they put in the ground when they showed up and people died? Right? When all those people in Jamestown died during the Great Starvation, a period of time where almost everyone in the first Jamestown settlement died, you think they put crosses in the ground? Yeah, I think they put crosses in the ground. I think they had faith in Jesus even then. Even when they had to march south or march to, where did they go to? Virginia Beach, I think. Southern Virginia. Coast. To re-up on supplies. And then return to Jamestown after having a winter that almost took them out. Return to Jamestown. And go at it again. Why? There's a lot of reasons. There's no denying that there wasn't an honor to God in it. How about the founders? I'm not a founders guy. I don't talk about founders all the time. Founders, the founding fathers. I don't talk about it. It's something that many other people have talked about. And to be honest with you, they've talked about it a little too much in my estimation. You know, you talk about something too much, it opens it for mockery. But there's no denying their faith in God and their Christianity. So in other words, who else sits down and says that everyone should have the right to say what the hell they want and they should be able to defend that right with firearms? Do you think that happened by chance? Do you think that was something that happened out of chance? 1 and 2? You think Amendment 1 and 2 just happened by accident? And there were some amazing men who fought for those amendments. There were some amazing men who weren't even willing to budge on the United States Constitution until we had a Bill of Rights that protected speech and the right to bear arms. Why do you think? Hey. There's a persecution that's happening right now in Christianity, and the reason we stand up for Christmas, the reason we stand up for Christianity, it's pretty simple, right? Cross displays and military under attack. This from the ACLJ.org, American Heritage. 7 years ago. This is an ancient article. The aggressive tactics of atheist organizations move into high gear during the Christmas season. This organization sent a letter to the Marine Corps commanding officer at Camp Pendleton after an atheist group attacked a war memorial cross put in place by Marines to honor their colleagues who died fighting for our freedom in Iraq. I mean, that's the difference, right? What I have said in the past bears repeating. The Constitution does not prohibit honoring fallen troops through the use of a historic symbol merely because the symbol also carries religious significance. In fact, the Constitution forbids excluding religion from every aspect of public life, precisely the goal of the MAAF and other atheist groups. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice Now. Sign the petition, yada, yada, yada. You see what it is. But listen, these are the things that happen when we sit idly by. These are the things that happen when we sit idly by. Now, you want to understand why you're doing what you're doing today. You want to understand, maybe if you're a Christian who's on the fence, or you're a person who doesn't even know if you're a Christian or not. What the hell is a Christian? What does that mean? I was in that boat for a long time. What the hell does it mean? What do you mean, give my body to Christ? What does that mean? I need steps. I need instructions. What the hell are you talking about? Are you talking about me standing in a dark room with a Bible in my hand proclaiming something just to thin air? Because that's something I can't buy into. And I know that there's a lot of people who are cool with that, and a lot of people who find their way that way, and that's fine. But I want to talk about what the rungs of that ladder really feel like in your hands, because that's what's important to me. That's how I need to exist in a world where I can feel. I can have faith, don't get me wrong, but I have to have something to feel and touch, and I have to have, most importantly, I have to have something to do. I have to have some work. And the most fundamental failure between me and religion my whole life has been, give me some work. I need something to do. You know, I can't put a cross around my neck and just say, just nod my head. I need some work. Truth. Be honest. Be truthful. That's your work. Every day, that's what you do. You have to be honest. No matter who you're facing down. And that's hard. And that's courage. Truth and courage. Right? So the courage to be honest and to be truthful. Even when it hurts. And of course, understanding that you're a demon. That's what you are. You're just an animal. You're just a flawed animal. And it feels good to do the bad things. It feels so much better to do the bad things than it does the good things. But guess what? If you want to talk about the rungs of Christianity, if you want to talk about the work, it's about doing what's right. Even when the easy thing is right there. And you could touch it and you can taste and you could feel it. You know how good it's going to feel. So on this Christmas, folks, I thought it'd be important that we talk about Christianity. I thought it'd be important that you understand, even if you're not a Christian and you don't believe in God, we owe something to Jesus Christ. I thought it'd be important for people to understand that Christianity is something that's going to be under attack forever. It's not a win-lose war. Rather, it's like it's an ebb and flow. And I thought, most importantly, it important to remind everyone why we're doing what we're doing. Why? Why we're doing what we are doing. What is Christmas all about? Well, it's the Mass of Jesus Christ. And why is Jesus Christ so important? Because he's arguably one of the most, well, the creation of Christianity is arguably one of the most important things that has ever happened in the history of humanity. And if we can't celebrate that, I don't know what the hell we're doing. So, it's my deepest honor to wish you a Merry Christmas, you out there listening, you who listen to the I Am Liberty Show, you who listen to the Prepper Broadcasting Network. It is my honor to wish you a Merry Christmas. I hope to see you in 2019. I hope that you stay on the path that you're on, and I hope that we can grow together. All right, so Merry Christmas, and enjoy your day, all right? It is meant to be enjoyed.